In Scripture, prayer is actually more described rather than defined. Prayer is not so much about mechanics or certain words or a certain amount of vocabulary that we use. A prayer can be a personal prayer in our prayer closet for 1 hour or 2 hours, or it can be for a few seconds, openly, Abba, Father. Even the posture of our bodies do not play the deciding role in prayer, whether we heard or not. We know that it is good to pray on our knees. And I do recommend to do that, especially in personal life, as much as possible. Because one day all knees will bow before the Lord in His great name. All people who ever lived on this earth, we will all bow our knees before the Lord Savior. I don't know if you are familiar, but I think the young people are probably not familiar with this. There used to be these old cartoon characters in newspapers, like Peanuts. I don't know if you know about them. But there's this story. It reads like this. It's late one night, and Linus is preparing himself for bed. He is deep in thought, and as he moves his hands in different configurations, Lucy, his sister, enters the room and finds Linus on his knees in prayer. And he says this, "I think I made a new theological discovery." "What is it?" Lucy asked. "Well," he said, "if you pray holding your hands upside down, you get the opposite of what you pray for." And some people have very superstitious of ideas of how they fold their hands and how they act in prayer. Or I don't say that some people like to make a cross. I don't say that that's wrong. But I don't also believe that that necessarily decides whether God hears our prayers or not. What does God look at when we pray? He looks at our hearts. He looks at our face. He looks at our thoughts. And He considers our prayers not according to our position or posture that we may have or not have, because prayer is a spiritual and a moral cause. It's about our minds and hearts lining up under God. It's not so much about getting God to change, and sometimes we'd love to do that, right? We'd love to change God's mind. It's about getting us into the position to receive God's gifts that He has for us. Let me tell you one thing. God isn't hard of hearing. He's not deaf. He doesn't have a hearing aid. He never has to. And we don't have to shout at God. Did you know that? We don't have to shout at God. Sometimes when we cry out to God, the Bible talks about crying out to God, that is for our own sake. That is really an act of faith, to cry out from our hearts. And sometimes it may be loud when you're all by yourself and you cry out to God because you need to get it off your heart. And that's the most important thing. God doesn't need to be informed about anything. Someone was caught saying something that was kind of weird. This person says, if Jesus would know what is going on in the church today, He would turn over in His grave. And he was, so what? He's not in His grave. He cannot turn over. He has turned over in his grave, but he came out of the grave. He knows what's going on in the church. He knows what's going on in your life and my life. He knows everything. And this can be comforting. And it can be scary too, right? Especially as young people. God knows everything. Nothing is secret. God knows the thought you just had. He knows it. Can be scary, right? And if God knows my thoughts, one thing we have to realize, God doesn't have a hardened heart. You know, some fathers have hardened hearts against their children and spouses. They close up their hearts. They cannot open their hearts and bless their children. But God isn't like that. God doesn't have a hardened heart. And we don't have to nag or badger him or try to twist his arms or arm. That is metaphorically speaking. See, prayer is first and foremost us yielding to God. This is why it's important that we learn and remind ourselves, and maybe we have learned this before, but don't you think there's room to grow in your prayer life? There's a lot of room to grow in my prayer life. I can tell you that. And the first and hardest thing is that we yield to God. And yielding to God means that we want what God wants. So prayer, then, is a language of dependence on God and on Him alone. We're telling God in everything, in all situations, that we need Him. We want Him to do what only He can do. And we want Him to do what He wants to do in our lives. That is real prayer. Yielding to God. Expressing our dependence on Him. Doesn't God know that we depend on Him? Doesn't He know that we can't do anything without Him? Should we tell Him that constantly? No, it's the posture that we have to have in our hearts. Lord, I need You. So let's read this very popular prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. Now, I don't know about you. I have read different translations. But when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, I go back to the Old King James Version. I just kind of feel that is what we, most of us probably have learned when we first learned about the Lord's Prayer. So let's read this prayerfully together. I will read, and you can read with me silently. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus was teaching the disciples about spiritual disciplines. He was talking about giving, praying, and fasting. And those are the challenges of Christ's followers, so that we can become the light of the world and glorify God. Jesus taught us here in this prayer how to engage the presence of God. And he says indirectly here that true expressions of religion, including prayer, that we make it about God and not about ourselves. And here comes the yielding that I spoke of minutes ago. The religious leaders in Jesus' time had made it very much about themselves, about being glorified, being seen, being recognized by others for their piety and religiosity. They gave, they prayed, they fasted, and twisted it into their selfish agendas. They wanted to look better than other people. They wanted other people to say, "Oh, isn't that a real religious, pious person?" But one of the ways we can discover whether or not our prayers are about God is to look at how we pray and what specifically we pray for. Jesus says, "This is how you pray." He gave a model prayer. And this model prayer exalts God first and foremost and focuses on four basic needs that will enable us to please God, because in this whole prayer, it's all about us pleasing the Heavenly Father and glorifying His name. Because when that happens, then our life has purpose. When that happens, then we are what God has placed us here on earth for, to the glory of the Father in heaven. Verse 7 refers to prayer, that it's not ritualistic mechanisms of words to make God respond. This model prayer summarizes the whole direction, the tone, and the attitude of our prayer life. If you should fall short of praying, of finding words to pray, go to this prayer. Or go to the Psalms, where there's a lot of prayers listed there. You can learn to pray by simply reading prayer Psalms or reading this prayer. Reading it back to God out loud and meaning it with all your heart, or even memorizing it. It doesn't hurt. Very often, I pray the Lord's Prayer for myself. That's how I open my prayer. Of course, I have a long list of other things that I still pray about after that, but I start with that prayer. I somehow feel I really want to get into the, not just the mood, but into the spirit of prayer, that God would hear me. So the first thing we want to look at is there's six requests actually given here. The first three focus vertically to God, to His agenda, to our worshiping Him, to His work and His will. Those are the first three requests. The whole prayer is really about honoring God. Even the prayers about ourselves, the requests. For example, the request for bread. Did you ever realize or notice that before Jesus told us to pray for forgiveness, He tells us to pray for our daily bread? Why is that? Because if we don't have bread to eat, guess what? We will not even confess our sins to the Lord, because everything will go, just our focus will go just about the daily bread. But once we have that, then we ask for forgiveness. And then about temptations. And we will look at that next time. So God first and then us. That's the prayer. Lord, you first. 1, 2, 3, first. And then 1, 2, 3, us, but also towards God's glory. So he starts the prayer and he says, Our Father who art in heaven. The one that we address is the ultimate power, the ultimate love, and the creator of the universe. He is awesome. He is enthroned in heaven and a tender Father to whom we draw near. This wonderful closeness we have with the Father, while at the same time underscoring our need to reverence Him, we should have when we approach God. The term Father is a term of intimacy. Not all people can say, Oh God, my Father, our Father. They don't have that connection. Jesus did not teach us to pray, Oh great and mighty omniscient designer outside the realm of time and space. That would have been a technical or some kind of scientific term. He simply says, address God as our Father. That was new in the concept of Jewish thinking. They believed that God's name should not even be spoken. Yahweh or Jehovah was an unpronounceable name. This is why they used the word Lord instead. David Jeremiah writes in Prayer, The Great Adventure, the writers of the Old Testament had a much different concept of their relationship to God than we do today. When the scribes who copied the Old Testament scriptures wrote the word for God, Yahweh, they would throw away their pen, never to use it again. They reasoned that once it had written the word Yahweh, the pen was disqualified to write anything else. We can learn from that. But unfortunately, in our time, we often go the other extreme. We often treat worship services as if it's a party or if it's something that we can just dance to. This idea, come as you are and just do as you are or do as you wish. When we come to worship God, we need to worship in awe, in respect, in honor. Some people approach God in a casual way. They just say, hey, big guy in the sky. That is not what Jesus teaches. Our Father who art in heaven. Holy, holy, holy. That was the worship service in Isaiah. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So when we come in prayer, we come to the throne, the highest throne in the universe. There is no greater power that comes other than from the throne of God, but it is the throne of grace. This is why we can approach our Father and say, Abba, Father. He wants us to come. He invites us to come. He knows that he is our Father and we are his children. He knows that he is our Papa. Forget about the Pope. He is not our Papa. Our Father in heaven is our Papa, to whom we come humbly in prayer. I want to close with a story of a guy in England named Mark Smith. He was a 33-year-old university lecturer. He was kayaking off the coast in South England. All of a sudden, he lost control and the boat capsized. The first thing he did was reach for his cell phone and call his father. Now, his father was 3,500 miles away training British troops in Dubai. Without delay, the father called and relayed the Mayday call to the Coast Guard nearest to his son's location. And within 12 minutes, a helicopter came and rescued Mark from the sea. What a message to us. The first thing this young man did was call his father. His father was not too busy. He was in the military. He was training troops, but he was not too busy for his son. Within a very short time, help was on its way. And this is the confidence I think that God wants us to have, that he is our Father to whom we can come, whom we can give our burdens and our worries. And he then says, help is on its way. How comforting to know. I know I'm in trouble. I know I'm in danger. I know I'm tempted. I know I'm discouraged. I know I'm in a very bad situation, but I know help is on its way because I called out to the Father and he will help me. Many of us have experienced that over and over. And I want to leave it at this because there's so many good thoughts here that I want to take my time going through this. May God bless his word today. Our Father who art in heaven, he is there, but he's present with us through Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Amen.